I'm the chair of the Complaint Screening Committee. The time now is 8:32, April 15th, 2020, and I call the meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychological Examiners to order. Roll call, Ms. Michelson? Or Ms. Poe?
Yes, Madam Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Gill?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Item number three on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the regular session minutes of March 18th, 2020? And I believe, Dr. Gill, you're recused from this item. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Excuse me, may I?
I'm sorry, we are now on agenda item number three with approval of the minutes. Please hold your comment. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Our motion is approved. Any opposed? Not hearing none. Motion is approved. All right. There was a comment from somebody. What was the comment?
MP complainant.
Great.
Through my correspondence.
Yes, MP, your item has...
Excuse me, through my correspondence.
MP, your item, we will address you as soon as your item is up on the agenda. So if you would just wait a few minutes, and we have a few things to do first. So item number four is... Item number four is case discussion.
Before that, it should be noted...
Sir, I need you to just wait... until we get to your
okay,
item.
Okay, all right, thank you.
All right, thank you, and then we'll be happy to
thank
call
you.
And have you make a brief statement. Thank you. And if you're on the line,
thank you,
if you're not a board member, if you could put your phone on mute so we don't get any background noise, and yet when your item is brought up, we will be more than happy to have you participate at the appropriate time. So the Complaint Screening Committee, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 322081H, may dismiss a complaint appearing on this agenda or refer it to the full board for consideration. Complainants dismissed by the committee shall not be disclosed in response to a telephone inquiry or placed on the board's website pursuant to ARS 322081H1. Upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the committee may go into executive session on any item of the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431-03A2 to review confidential records, or A3 to receive confidential legal advice from the board's attorney. For those in attendance, please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based upon the parties present and request to speak. A person or a representative of a person who has filed or received a complaint and who is present may make a brief statement to the committee by filling out a request to speak form, or I will call on you at the appropriate time. The committee may also have questions for those who speak. This is a very important part of the announcement. Please only use initials for patients and children. Do not use names, only initials. Be aware that the content and many records involved in these complaints is confidential, and the content should not be discussed in public meeting. Be advised that the committee will go into executive session to discuss any confidential records. The first complaint today is item number 20, complaint number 2034 regarding Dr. Janet Macer. Dr. Gill, you're the lead board member. Would you like to provide a summary of the complaint?
Yes, this is Dr. Gill. The summary from the complainant, MP, is the following. Patient was treated by Dr. Messer from 2011 to 2019. He was referred by his primary care doctor. MP reported that he was assaulted on December 31st, 2014, in Los Angeles at a Ford dealership, and he alleges a TBI and a hate crime, and reported that he was briefly hospitalized. MP filed a police report and he reported that LAPD and the media, quote, withheld information. MP claimed the basis for his concern was a law called Marcy's Law from California, to victims' right law. Just briefly, it's a law from 2008 that protects and expands legal rights of crime victims in the judicial process. And that requires medical professionals, allegedly, to a fiduciary obligation to inform authorities when a legally disabled patient is a victim of a hate crime. MP reported that following his alleged TBI, that he suffered from a debilitation of physical and mental health conditions. And he pleaded over time for Dr. Messer to notify authorities regarding the cover-up corruption by LAPD, the cover-up by the media. Dr. Messer did provide medical records and requests from time to time. MP provided a certified letter sent to Dr. Messer on May the 10th of 2019, highlighting his, quote, concerns about Dr. Messer's serious fiduciary violation, end quote. She lacked consideration for my life, unquote, and also said that it was following 7.5 years of treatment. The certified letter also lists MP's fears, anxieties, and the feeling he was being targeted and harassed by political entities and by law enforcement. Quote, I was nearly killed and experienced a life-changing TBI covered up by the media. Quote, case was dismissed for no reason. MP accused Dr. M of a lack of concern, a lack of a response. But the letter that Dr. Messer sent to the court, apparently there was a mental health court that was involved here, the details of which were not included. But nevertheless, Dr. Messer sent to the court on 2-6-2019 that this letter was neglected, according to MP. There was an appellate court that was apparently scheduled for May the 15th, 2019, and MP had asked Dr. Messer for a short, brief letter before that court. MP reminded Dr. Messer of her active fiduciary obligations and her, quote, numerous moral and ethical duties. Dr. Messer's response was to indicate that following the TBI, there was no treatment from December of 2014 to September of 2016. MP then moved back to Arizona, and treatment reportedly resumed at that time with Dr. Messer. Initially, MP was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Dr. Gill, can we refrain from articulating on the record any of the diagnoses, please?
Okay. The concerns regarding the mental health conditions, there were concerns about finances, housing, and difficulty with activities of daily living. There was an additional diagnosis performed. I won't indicate it, but that MP did agree with that diagnosis, saying, quote, it sounds like me. Dr. Messer also indicated that the diagnosis does include quite a bit of resistance to treatment because of the complexities of the diagnosis. Dr. Messer also reported that MP filed a lawsuit against people in Los Angeles who, quote, cheated him, another person who rear-ended him in Arizona, and a landlord for evicting him in 2019. Dr. Messer consulted with an attorney regarding MP's mental health issues. And this is when apparently he was referred to mental health court. Dr. Messer helped MP file for disability and did write letters on his behalf, as reported. There were emails that were sent from MP Dr. Messer that were not responded to. Then MP sent a certified letter, as indicated, and Dr. Messer reported that at that time she started to feel fearful. And Dr. Messer at that time did respond to an email. I'll conclude at this point regarding Dr. Messer's response.
Great. Thank you for that summary. The complainant, MP, I believe you're on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate that. Sir, if you'd like to provide a brief summary or a brief statement to the board, we have read all of the material that has been supplied by you and by Dr. Messer, but if you'd like to provide any comments.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate everyone being here and everyone's time and your attention. Thank you. The issues that are of matter are very relevant to not only, obviously, the well-being and safety of myself, but I think a lot of other disabled and abused and those who have been mistreated. So with that in mind, 3 days ago I spoke to Ms. Michelson and indicated to her, consistent with the explanation the doctor has given, there are a lot of matters relevant to this matter that are progressing in the moment as we speak. A lot of the discovery, a lot of the correspondence relevant to these matters has not had the fair opportunity to be presented simply because of my inability through my through the results and circumstances of these issues have left me homeless and very much, as spoken on the record, debilitated on numerous accounts. And so what I would ask is that consistent with counsel and my ability to be represented by counsel fairly and the opportunity for more and rightful discovery to be provided to the court, I would ask that the meeting be adjourned to a future time so that proper discovery can be granted.
Members of the committee, this is Jean Galvin. It appears that the complainant is seeking a continuance of this matter, and if I understood him correctly, it is for the purpose to allow discovery. Discovery is not permissible at this committee level, and that should be one thing that you consider in whether to grant his request for continuance.
Thank you. Do we need to have a discussion?
I would rule on this. Motion, okay. His verbal motion.
So, board members, what we have is a motion, a verbal motion from MP to for continuance based on discovery. Although discovery, as mentioned by our attorney, is not part of this process. Is there any discussion? Members, is there a motion? I don't see a need at this point to allow for a continuance. This is a complaint.
Well, I don't have counsel, ma'am.
This isn't...
And that's not fair.
Mr. MP, this is Jean Galvin. I'm an attorney, assistant attorney general, and I represent the board. Whether you have counsel is up to you. The board, this is not a criminal proceeding. The board is not obligated to provide you legal counsel.
So, thanks. So, board members, we have a matter.
I'm just, if I could reply to that, I am just going from what Ms. Michelson had told me the other day. She said that if I provide a request to the board prior to the meeting adjourning, that there should not be any issues in providing that so that proper discovery could be made. I am merely reciting what Ms. Michelson told me 3 days ago, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, what we have is a motion in front of us. So, board members, I'm going to ask that we need to decide on the motion request for continuance. My feeling is we do not. We continue with this case as it is in front of us. Is there any discussion or thoughts from the other two committee members?
This is Dr. Gill. I don't see the need for continuance.
All right. So is there a motion? Are you making a motion, Dr. Gill, that we deny the request for continuance?
I move that we deny the request for continuance.
Is there a second? This is just for the board members at this point. We're deliberating and making a decision. So, Dr. Davis-Wilson, did you have something to say?
I seconded the motion.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion with the board members? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we'll move forward with the case. So, MP, do you have any other comments and you want to in regard to the facts of the case?
Well, I've had very little time to produce the documents necessary simply because of all of the other relevant circumstances to this matter. I spoke to Ms. Michelson just days ago and explained to her the circumstances, and she said to me very directly, sir, it will not be a problem. All you need to do is present to the board prior to the meeting starting that there are numerous examples of discovery to be made, and they should have no problem granting you an extension so that that discovery can be made. It's totally unfair. The process is totally unfair, and it is totally in opposition to the designed purpose of helping those in need. We can create any rules to...
Sir,
I'm not going to continue.
Sir, if you'd like to provide... What we have is the information you provide. You provided us. We've all read it. And so the way the procedures work is this is the time for you to then explain factually what your concerns were. And that's... So, it's your opportunity not to do that. And then if the board has any questions of you, the board members can ask questions. So again, I ask, do you have anything you'd like to say in regards to the complaint that you have submitted to the board? Because we've read your complaint.
I think it's very sad that everybody else who has representation is provided that except the person who really needs it. I will have to continue because seemingly my requests are being denied, which is very sad. However, the accusations and the statements in the complaint are accurate, and we shall continue as follows, and these matters will be addressed at a later time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, MP. Board members, are there any questions for MP? All right, hearing none. Thank you, MP, for your comments. I do believe Dr. Maser and her attorney, Mr. Hoover, are on the phone. Is that correct?
Yes, good morning. This is Charlie Hoover, and Dr. Maser is online with us.
Great, thank you. Would you, if you could both introduce yourselves, and then if one of you or both want to make a short statement to the board.
Well, I'm Dr. Messer, and I think I'd prefer that Mr. Hoover make the a short presentation, but I am here and available to answer questions.
All right, thank you. Mr. Hoover?
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I would like to compliment the staff on putting together the summary in the investigative report. I think it highlights exactly what the issues are in this matter. I thank Dr. Gill for his review and his recitation. Make one minor correction there. Dr. Gill had stated that Dr. Messer had conferred with her counsel in regard to some issues that resulted in the mental health court order. I would say that Dr. Messer worked in conjunction with MP's attorney, who had requested information from her, and where it was appropriate and as she could be helpful, she provided that information to him in that regard. And this kind of dovetails into the basis, foundation of the complaint. It does not appear that there's any complaint as to the actual care and treatment provided by Dr. Messer to MP. Rather, it appears that MP is concerned that in the broader societal issues that he was confronting, that Dr. Messer did not, to some extent, intuit this and intercede in various court proceedings in California. She did not really know of anything going on in California for the 2 years that MP was involved and over there. Upon his return, he recounted his issues and asked for her help in certain occasions. And when she was able to do that, and within appropriate ethical boundaries, she was able to provide assistance and help when requested. So what we have here, I think, is a complaint that Dr. Messer did not involve herself in Mr. or MP's battles with police or the court system beyond what she was specifically directed to do and given information for. So I think what we have here is a situation which might skirt even this board's jurisdiction to get into the matter, in that it does not appear to involve the care and treatment, but rather some other perceived duty to interject herself into the legal proceedings and processes that MP was going through at the time. We believe that the evidence Dr. Messer provided, her records, and the balance of the complaint indicate that Dr. Messer has performed to standard, and that there is no reason to move the matter forward. And we would ask that it be dismissed at this level. And Dr. Messer is available for any questions that the board may have. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
May board I interject, please?
No, this is a time that the board is focusing right now on Dr. Messler. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Messler? Dr. Messler, I do have a question. It does appear there he had concerns about not being getting involved in some of the court cases or the police situation. Can you just explain your rationale as a psychologist of what your boundaries were?
Well, I saw MP from March of 2011 to June of 2014, June of 2014. Then he moved to LA for 2.5 years. And the next time I saw him was in
September
of 2016. Well, I don't really know how long he was in LA, but I know I didn't see him until June of September of 2016. And that was when he asked for an appointment, being back in town, and told me about all of these assaults and things that happened in California. He showed me photographs, police reports, etc. Now, these things had happened nearly 2 years before when we weren't in contact, then certainly weren't in treatment. And, you know, I felt bad for him, but he never asked me to get involved with courts, and it seemed beyond my boundaries as a psychologist. do that. So that's what I know about it. He did make a website and post these reports and photographs on it and asked me to look at it, and I did. But no, he never asked me to get involved in it.
Those statements are untrue.
I got involved in
MP, Doctor, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt for a second. Number one, could you everybody put your phone on mute if you're not speaking? And MP, this is a time for us to talk to the doctor and to get information from her. So please refrain from making any comments. I'd appreciate it. MP, did you know?
I can just make one statement.
No, not at this point. I'm talking to Dr.
Comments
Macer.
From the attorney and the doctor are not factual.
Dr. Macer, did you have any, if I'm understanding what you're saying, the time that he talked about the attacks and the issues were not when he was your client, but when he was in California. Is that correct?
Correct.
So your information was from what he has told you thereafter.
Right. He came back September of 2016 and told me about it, yes.
All right. Thank you. Other board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Macer? All right. Hearing none, we're now going to move into what's called deliberations. And please note the deliberations is a time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from the complainants, licensee, or attorneys representing the licensee. Dr. Gill, you were the lead. Would you like to start the deliberations?
Well, I think I want to communicate my understanding of the narrative of this case. My understanding is that there are no complaints about the treatment that MP received. The complaints seem to be based upon a law in California that maybe our attorney can comment on that and whether we even have the jurisdiction to determine whether that law applies in Arizona, much less applies to Dr. Messer, and does it apply to create any obligations on her part that are implied in the complaint? Some clarification of that would be appreciated.
It does not apply to Dr. Messer.
Yes, yeah, does this law, it's a California law.
It does not apply in this case.
Dr. Gill, Ms. Galvin's going to... Ms. Galvin's going to answer your question, Ms. Galvin.
Yes, it does not apply in this case, Dr. Gill.
Okay. So, I mean, should I then conclude that the complaint has no merit legally?
I guess if I could jump in, Dr. Gill, with my comments. Do you mind?
Yes.
Looking at the case, it appears as though there is no complaint regarding, you know, care and treatment of the client, that it's more of a, I guess the client was more concerned with a law that's in California that doesn't pertain to this doctor, and the issues that he was concerned about did not occur under her therapy, or you know, being a client at that time. And so I do not see any type of violation of any of our statutes or rules, and my thoughts would be the case would be dismissed.
Well,
that would be unconstitutional.
This is Dr. Gill again. It does appear that Dr. Messer has stated that she defended her behaviors regarding the fact that there were issues of confidentiality, and she had limits of disclosure as to what she, asked to do on her patient's behalf, and And she also argued that there were boundaries inherent in the psychotherapeutic process that supports her position. And that's all I'll say.
So is there a motion? So Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you have any comments? If not, is there a motion?
I move that we dismiss
I'll make the motion to dismiss the complaint.
So I think I heard... I think I heard Dr. Gill first saying he's making a motion to dismiss. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. The case is dismissed. We are now going to move.
That was a travesty. That was a travesty of justice. And you people are unconstitutional, and this matter will be held at a higher level of court. I have not been heard. The documentation has not been provided. The discovery has not been provided, and there will be more addressed in a future matter. This is unconstitutional, and all of you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Thank you, MP. The next matter has been called.
We're now moving on to
complaint 2035, Dr. Saret Zachariah. I am the lead complaint. I am the lead board member on this case. Grab my notes here.
Criminal activity.
All right.
Criminal corruption.
We have moved on to the next case, Mr. MP. Please.
Thank you. I think I've made my point. One. You'll hear me in the media. Thank you very much.
Our next case, I will provide a brief summary. The complainant is RJ and JW, RJ's client and also JW, from March 2017 to September 2019, Dr. Zachariah worked for Vibrant Healthcare Industry, located in Scottsdale. During her employment, Dr. Zachariah provided services to psychology patients and supervised psychology associate Dr. Marilyn Wiley, PhD, who is unlicensed. Dr. Wiley provided counseling service to RJ from 2017 to 19, and also his fiance for two sessions in 2019, and also RJ's minor son in 2018-19. On January 27th, 2020, RJ submitted one complaint against Dr. Zachariah, Dr. Wiley, and Angelina Fisher, who is a counselor, a licensed professional counselor with the Arizona Board of Behavior Health. RJ's complaint allegation in part were concerning some billing practices of Dr. Wiley and her conduct. A complaint for investigation was opened against Dr. Zachariah, Dr. Wiley, and board staff forwarded the copy of the complaint to the BBHC regarding the counselor. On February 4th, the board office received information from the fiance regarding similar concerns that RJ had mentioned. During the investigation of the complaint, the board obtained Zachariah's employment file from Vibrant. In that file, it reflects that the doctor no longer works there, and there were reasons stated in the documentation we received. Board members, we won't discuss that documentation at this meeting. I am recommending that be kept as a separate issue that goes to the board in a future meeting because it doesn't pertain to the complaint that RJ has made. But I do think it's something we want to look at a future meeting. RJ complaints alleges the following, that while in care, Dr. Wiley at Vibrant, Dr. Wiley inquired if JR was interested in meeting or dating a fellow therapist. Dr. Wiley sent RJ a screenshot of her Facebook conversation with the counselor. Dr. Wiley sent a text message from her personal phone asking RJ if he was interested. RJ declined the invitation, and he felt that the text messages complicated the therapist relationship and caused RJ to schedule fewer meetings. RJ was concerned that Dr. Wiley did not appear to have a national provider's identification number, and that based on the billing statements, that Dr. Zachariah's MPI number was being used instead of Dr. Wiley's. JR never met Dr. Zachariah and all of his from all of his sessions were conducted only with Dr. Wiley. He also is concerned that Dr. Wiley is not a member of the APA, not licensed, and that RJ cannot find any life coaching certifications on her. Apparently, Dr. Wiley is also a life coach. There's also concerns that Dr. Wiley was wearing a doctor's coat, a white lab coat that had insignia or writing on it. And one of the pictures that were submitted, it claimed that it stated she was a clinical psychologist on the coat. Then also provided by JR's ex-wife, that Dr. Wiley also provided counseling services to JR's ex-wife. Dr. Wiley is more friends with JR's ex-wife, as they were both part of a sorority, and also this part of the same sorority that his fiance is a member of. Dr. Wiley took the JR's fiance as a patient, even though he felt there was a conflict of interest being part of the same sorority. Alleges that the fiance had two sessions with Dr. Wiley, and that information that was relayed in that session was shared with the ex-wife. And that Dr. Wiley intentionally did not bill the fiancé for the two sessions, as she knew, for whatever reason. The fiancé canceled the third session and decided to see a new psychologist. The fiancé also submitted documentation with the board, very similar to allegations of AJ. The licensee did respond in a timely manner, and through her attorney, Mr. Ager. Dr. Zachariah states that the complaint focuses exclusively on alleged inappropriate out-of-office contact with Dr. Wiley and RJ, that Dr. Zachariah is not able to address the specific details of the alleged out-of-office contact. Dr. Zachariah does not challenge the nature of Dr. Wiley's alleged out-of-office contact. However, Dr. Wiley's conduct is alleged in the complaint appears to be inappropriate and professional. Dr. Zachariah has no professional obligation to monitor or prevent the alleged out-of-office conduct. Dr. Zachariah does state that Dr. Wiley has a PhD in clinical psychology. Dr. Zachariah was employed at Vibrant and was a minority ownership interest in it. She no longer works there. She does not know if Dr. Wiley is still an employee there. She states that Dr. Wiley is qualified to treat RJ. Dr. Zachariah alleges that that JR is not aware that Dr. Wiley had not yet received her license because she had not passed an exam yet that needed to be passed to obtain her license. That Dr. Zachariah addressed the issue with the lab coat and mentioned to Dr. Wiley that she should not be wearing it. After that point, she no longer did, as to her knowledge. Dr. Zachariah states that her supervision of Dr. Wiley was appropriate, that there is no specific allegations or evidence that Dr. Wiley did anything but provide good in-office care to her patients, and that Dr. Zachariah properly supervised the care. That in regards to the billing, Dr. Wiley's work was billed appropriately, stating that Dr. Zachariah was listed on the bill as well as Dr. Wiley. The billing is actually performed by an office manager. Vibrant billing statement makes clear that Zachariah was the billing provider and that Dr. Wiley was the rendering the services. And that concludes my summary. Is AJ on the line?
I believe the complainant RJ and JW are on the phone.
RJ?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, I'm RJ.
Thank you for being here. And I believe, where's my notes? There we go. All right. And JW, who's your fiance, I believe, is also on the line?
Yes.
All right. RJ, would you like to make a few comments first? And again, you can just, if you have any comments to make, and then the board members may have questions for you.
Okay. Instead of reading from a prepared statement, the issues that I have along with in regards to the care. There were situations to where information that was provided privately within session with Dr. Wiley has made it into other circles. There was numerous dual relationships, which really caused a lot of conflict. The issues that I faced sessions, and we provided a few recordings, was how Dr. Wiley was very quick to provide very conflicting information in a recording that was provided by JW. Dr. Wiley made statements to JW stating that in my relationship with my ex-wife, TDJ, that there was abuse, and there was incidents to where I had firearms and I chased her and I abused her and whatnot. The issues that came to that is what's really what made me start to look into Dr. Wiley is JW is indeed my fiance, but there was absolutely nothing that stated that Dr. Wiley could go into personal session information about myself, about my son DJ, and the other issues go in with the multiple relationships because she was the therapist not just for myself. She was a therapist for my son. She was a therapist for TDJ, my ex-wife. She was a therapist for my fiance, JW, and she was the therapist for HC, who is TDJ's now former ex-fiance. So with having the connection to the organization, the Sigma Gamma Rho, they basically have taken information from JW and information from my sessions and have shared them. The biggest breach of that happened on March 7th when I was approached by Chandler Police Department. I had a order of protection that was filed against me, and the order was being served by three Chandler police officers. I was lucky that I was not removed from my home because the lead officer recognized that there was an issue with the order of protection. TDJ, the ex-wife, basically stated that she resided in my home, which she did not. The lead officer did not remove me from my home because he remembers me from when I requested to get an order of protection in regard to Dr. Wiley, because I was concerned about the pictures of her firearms. I was concerned about the pictures of her with assault rifles. And even on her Facebook page, she even bragged about having a firearm in clinical sessions. There wasn't enough information for me to get an order of protection, but when they came to serve mine, he asked me to go to the courts to get it quashed. When I made it to the courts to see Honorable Susan White on March 13th, it was completely dismissed. There was a letter of evidence that was provided by a person by the initials of DTS. DTS is a member of the sorority, Sigma Gamma Rho. She stated in that letter that we have not spoken to each other in over a year, but Reginald was that I was diagnosed with clinical depression, that I'm prescribed medication, and I'm recently.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't want to give any diagnoses or anything.
Okay. My apologies, and that I was recently off my medications. And that was kind of one of the basis why they wanted the order of protection, that I was an abuser for 20 years and going into that. But they had information about my medical and therapy history. And the question came in was, you know, they're all members of the same organization. DTS, TDJ, JW, and Dr. Wiley are members of all the same organization. With that statement that she made, basically saying that I was a threat, that I was a harm to myself and others, they were able to initially get the order. But after the judge looked through the information and saw that there was no merit, 20 years of marriage, there was no police reports, there were no incidents, it was immediately dismissed. But going back to the record, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am?
So if you can, there's two cases on the agenda. One is Dr. Zachariah, and the other one is Dr. Wiley. And So if you want to, we'll focus towards Dr. Zachariah right now. Okay. And then, because her role is a little different, she was a supervisor in this situation, and then the next case is going to be about Dr. Wiley specifically.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I apologize.
No,
in
no,
regards
no.
to Dr. Zachariah. Oh.
So I do have some questions for you.
Yes, ma'am.
That relate to Dr. Zachariah.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Zachariah. So, JR, were you aware that Dr. Wiley was not a licensed psychologist, but was working under Zachariah's supervision?
No, ma'am. I did not know that.
So you were never told verbally that Dr. Wiley was working under Dr. Zachariah's license because she was not licensed, and when you're not, she'd taken all the classes, she was eligible for license, she hadn't taken the final exam. So basically doing like an internship possibly, or, you know, working but under a licensed psychology umbrella, that was never explained to you?
No, ma'am. I never even heard the name of Dr. Zachariah until I saw the billing statement.
And did you ever meet Dr. Zachariah?
No, ma'am. Never.
Do you recall ever reading anything or signing any documentation that stated that that Dr. Wiley was working under supervision of Dr. Zachariah?
No, ma'am. I do not recall that.
All right. Are there any other questions from the board members?
This is Dr. Keel. I guess I'm going to make a statement and then ask if RJ understands what I'm asking him or what I'm stating. When a therapist is a psychologist, can be a PhD, but is under supervision because that PhD doesn't have a license, that was your situation, whether you were informed of it or not. There's no requirement that you see the supervisor, but that the supervisor is responsible for the conduct in treatment by her supervisee. So the questions that were asked of you, you know, were you at any time, particularly at the beginning of the treatment, was it ever communicated to you that Dr. Wiley was a psychological assistant or a psychological assistant under the supervision of Dr. Zachariah? That was never communicated to you, as far as you know.
That's correct, sir. It was not communicated at all.
Was Dr. Zachariah, was her name ever referred to you as part of this therapy? Did you know of her existence?
No, sir, I did not.
And, this focus, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you have any questions?
I do not.
All right. RJ, thank you for your comments and answering the questions. I'm going to now move to Dr. Zachariah, and I believe she's joined by attorney Mr. Ager.
Yes, it's John Auger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just step back real quick. I think I made a mistake here. JW, you're on the phone. You also filed part of this complaint. Did you have any comments or did you want to add to anything in regards to Dr. Zachariah?
No, it's basically the same thing.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to give you the opportunity. I apologize for that. All right, Dr. Zachariah and Mr. Ager, are you on the phone?
Yes, we are.
All right, if you'd like to officially introduce yourself and also if you'd like to provide a brief statement.
Yes, please. Good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak before the committee. My name is John Auger. I'm with the law firm of Sandwig and Auger, and we represent Dr. Sarit Zachariah in connection with this board complaint. I want to start by saying that we stand by the letter that we wrote in response to the complaint as it relates to everything that has been raised by the complaint. I didn't hear any of those many issues challenged today or questioned today, with the exception of how Dr. Zachariah's supervision of Dr. Wiley may have been communicated to RJ. Dr. Zachariah's presence at the office was noted with her business cards, which you normally see up at the billing counter. Her name was on the billing statements that were provided to RJ, and there certainly wasn't any effort undertaken to shield the fact that Dr. Zachariah was supervising Dr. Wiley in any way. Dr. Zachariah will tell you, and she's happy to respond to any questions that you have directly today, that she specifically instructed Dr. Wiley, who had all of the hours that she needed, and as Dr. Gill pointed out, this was just general supervision, and this did not require Dr. Zachariah to be present or during any of the sessions or to have any role other than a general supervisory role. In connection with that role, Dr. Wiley was instructed that she needed to explain the nature of her experience to her patients, and Dr. Zachariah also expected the office manager to do that. I won't get into it, and it sounded like this might be an issue for the board's further consideration in the future, but there is satellite litigation ongoing between the office, which Dr. Zachariah had an interest in, a 38% interest in, and in Dr. Zachariah. Dr. Zachariah was essentially locked out of the practice with no way to access any information or access to patients when that occurred. I don't think that if that's something the board wants us to address more specifically, we're happy to do that. But I provide it merely as deep background to say that Dr. Zachariah instructed her staff to communicate the information regarding the nature of the supervisory relationship that she had with Dr. Wiley, in addition to specifically instructing Dr. Wiley of that. Based on the allegations in the complaint against Dr. Wiley, it appears that she was doing a lot of things that nobody knew about, nobody expected, nobody suspected until they came to light and were brought to light by the complainant RJ. And Dr. Zachariah certainly has considerable sympathy for RJ and his situation. Everything that has come to light is just horrible and really ought not to be tolerated. But Dr. Zachariah had no reason up until that point, and it didn't seem like RJ had a lot of reason either to believe that Dr. Wiley wasn't doing anything other than providing good care, that she was following the instructions of Dr. Zachariah in communicating to her patients the nature of the relationship that she had, and that the care that she was providing certainly didn't suggest that she was doing anything other than providing good care. So would Dr. Zachariah have preferred Dr. Wiley to have explained the nature of the relationship? Yes. But based on the care that RJ was receiving during the course of the time that he was with her, it doesn't seem like that would have really changed things for him, because he never complained about Dr. Wiley's care, at least until these issues came to light. He felt like he was getting good care. He had access to complain to the office or to ask questions of anyone in the office about the care. And Dr. Zachariah, as an actual psychologist, had identified herself in the materials available to him in the office. So it sounded to me like that was the issue of primary concern. I wanted to make sure I spent enough time on that. And either I or Dr. Zachariah would be happy to answer any questions you have about that or any other matter that's pending before the board in connection with this complaint.
Thank you for those summary comments. I'll start with the questions. Dr. Zachariah, You provided the supervision to Dr. Wiley. Were the clients informed that Dr. Wiley was not a licensed psychologist and was working under your supervision?
To my knowledge, that was happening through both the office manager and through Dr. Wiley.
Specifically, how was that being informed? How were the clients being informed?
They were being informed verbally.
And where were those notes? Where is the documentation of those conversations?
I don't have them.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I don't have access to anything. I don't have that documentation.
Do you recall, as a supervisor, and you have to, I represent the general public, I'm not a psychologist, so my questions may seem like I am not totally understanding of the process, so that would be true. In the supervisor relationship with Dr. Wiley, you would review her notes, her clinical notes of her clients, is that correct?
That is correct.
So in reviewing those notes, do you recall that there is anything documented in her notes in regards to she's in a supervisory situation?
No, I don't recall.
Do you feel it's important that the patients understand or know that the Dr. Wiley or anyone you're supervising is in a supervisory relationship?
Absolutely.
Could you explain what you feel your role is as a supervisor? What are your responsibilities?
Well, it was general supervision, so my responsibilities were to make sure that the staff, including the people who answered the phone and anyone seeing patients, understood their role. As well as that, I would meet regularly, I would follow up, I was in and out of the office, I would check in, I would ask questions, I would read the notes.
Did you have any one-on-one meetings as a supervisor capacity to help train and mentor Dr. Wiley?
We did have one-on-one meetings. She was not an intern. She was actually sitting to pass her exam. She was at that point. So the supervision we had was a continuation of professional practice, case notes, case management, what's happening with this patient, is there an issue that I need to be aware of? That was the nature of our supervision.
All right, and did you ever meet any of her clients, Dr. Wiley's clients?
There were some here and there, and I would see patients going in and out when I was in the office.
And did you sign off on all the progress notes?
I did.
And did you also approve of all the insurance coding?
What do you mean by that question?
When a psychologist or Dr. Wiley meets, I guess there's you charge the insurance company based on certain codes. Were you part of, or did you review the coding that was used for Dr. Wiley?
The coding is based on time, so if she had a 60-minute session, that was the code that was billed, and if she had a 45-minute session, that is the code that was billed.
Were you aware that Dr. Wiley, were you aware that Dr. Wiley had a potential conflict of interest between RJ's fiance, RJ's ex-spouse?
I was unaware of all of that being revealed today.
Do you recall a conversation that you had, any conversation with Dr. Wiley in discussing whether this is a conflict of interest? There would be a conflict of interest?
It was never raised.
It was never raised? And
she never said to me that who knew who and who was involved with who.
All right, and did you know that all that Dr. Wiley had text RJ regarding a potential co or friend counselor that she thought might be a good potential dating person for JR? For RJ?
No, I was unaware of all of this.
All right. Are there any other questions from the board members?
Yes, this is Dr. Gill. Dr. Zachariah, it's my understanding that you have been and you were in supervision with Dr. Miley from 2017 to September of 2019. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how often did you see her?
I would say about once a week. Sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less.
Okay, and you documented those sessions, is that correct?
They were documented, yes.
And that you do not have access to that documentation because of the lockout, is that correct?
That is correct.
Are you making, or you or your attorney, making an attempt to access that documentation?
If I can address that, that's the subject of litigation in which I do not represent Dr. Zachariah, and that litigation is in its earliest phases. I will tell you that I do know, based on my conversations with her lawyer, that there is a discovery dispute going on right now about that very issue, and that the company has been resistant to providing any information in response to discovery requests permitted under the Arizona Rules of Civil Procedure. Those issues remain unresolved at the moment.
Well, all I'll say is that it's critical that this board gets hold of that information because it supports her role as a supervisor, Dr. Wiley. So it is important for Dr. Zachariah to access that information. At any rate, when was the last time you supervised Dr. Wiley?
That's a good question. I can't give you an exact date, but I don't know that I want to speculate the date either, but I'm going to... I'm trying to think of the timeline here.
Well, it's my understanding that you left Vibrant in 2019 in September. Is that correct?
That is correct, but a lot
of... Did you have a termination session with Dr. Wiley?
No, Dr. Wiley would not return my phone calls, and I did not have a termination session with her due to that fact. I had reached out on numerous occasions requesting that she call me, reminding her that I was her supervisor, not the CEO of the company, and I did not hear back from her.
Okay. With respect to the issue of the lab coat, when did you notice that she was wearing a lab coat, that's Dr. Wiley, wearing a lab coat that stated clinical psychologist? Or if you could estimate it, that would be fine.
Yeah, close to the beginning of our relationship, and I did tell her that she was not a clinical, she was not a psychologist, that needs to be changed. And as far as I know, she had embroidered another one that just had Vibrant Healthcare on it. And that is what I saw her wearing in the office.
So to your knowledge, she only wore that lab coat once, stating clinical psychologist. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And was it your understanding that she understood that misrepresentation, the fact that she was representing herself as a licensed psychologist when she was not a licensed psychologist? Or did she understand that in your view? Did she understand that she violated an appropriate professional boundary?
I believe she did at the time of our discussion.
Did that concern you?
She would rectify it.
So you thought that that addressed the issue, and that was that?
Correct. And again, I never saw her in the office wearing it again.
Okay. And with respect to the billing has it that it's billed, your name is in the bill, on the bill, but under Dr. Wiley's name, she put an NPI number that happens to be your number. And then it was, and then your name was present, and then your NPI number was under you. So my impression of looking at that bill is that Dr. Wiley was presenting an NPI number as her own, which in fact was yours. Do I have that? Am I accurate?
This is John Auger speaking. We addressed that issue in the response that we provided to the board.
No, I don't think you did. You didn't.
Oh, okay.
This
well,
is not a coding issue. This is an NPI number.
Right. Right. The as far as I understand it, this field is in this particular billing program needs to be filled. Dr. Wiley, as far as I know, does not have an NPI number, nor is required to have one, and she may not even be able to get one. But so in terms of what that number means in that particular space, that's really for HIPAA tracking and HIPAA compliance, HIPAA assurance compliance. Nothing about that number is affects the rates that are being charged for Dr. Wiley or demonstrates that somebody is trying to suggest somebody other than Dr. Wiley are providing the services. And I think that the Health and Human Services Department makes that clear in the bulletin that they provide to the public on that issue.
Well, on its face, it does appear that Dr. Wiley is presenting herself with an NPI number, when in fact, from what I can understand from reading the materials, she doesn't have an NPI number, and it strikes me as a misrepresentation.
Certainly, if the billing software worked that didn't require an NPI number to be inserted there, then that should have been done, there's no doubt. In terms of at least, I would suggest that in terms of what you are presenting out there to the public and to anybody who might be reading this bill, you could make up an NPI number in that field and it wouldn't change a single thing about how the bill gets processed or viewed, because you have the provider there that is actually providing the services listed and the bill is being appropriately coded.
All right. I have one other question for Dr. Zachariah. You're arguing that Dr. Wiley was inappropriate with respect to out-of-office conduct. It appears to me that the out-of-office conduct included unprofessional conduct, or at least allegedly so. And are you not also responsible for her conduct outside the office as it pertains to her role as a psychological assistant in this case?
I'm absolutely not responsible for her conduct out of the session.
But if it's conduct relating to her role as a therapist?
I don't believe so, especially when I have absolutely no awareness. It's not someone I've befriended on Facebook. It's not someone who I follow. I don't make a point of following my colleagues at work. I think that's very unprofessional. The same as I wouldn't follow a patient. I think that's very unprofessional as well.
We're not talking about personal. Anyway, I just wanted to ask that question and get your response. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Gill. Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you have any questions?
I do, and my questions kind of align with what Dr. Gill was getting at as well, except I'm going to try to rephrase them. One specific to supervision documentation, it looks like as part of the investigation, we did submit a subpoena for client records. And I know that there's current outstanding litigation related to the access to records. So my question for the doctor is, if we were to submit a subpoena for supervision records, is that something that is clearly documented at the site at which supervision occurred?
Could you repeat that?
Yes. So if we were to request from Vibrant documentation of the supervision that occurred, is the supervision documentation existent? Would it be available if we were to request that?
I would hope so, but I wouldn't know because I don't know what has been deleted from the file and what has been preserved due to some of the litigation going on.
Thank you. And as far as the billing goes, it looks like everything's entered into the EMR system. And once it's entered into the EMR system by an intern or a student or what have you, at what point do you review it before it goes out? Like, what does the process look like before it actually goes out to the insurance company?
I read the notes. If I have questions or any questions were raised to me, then we discuss it, and then I co-sign the notes, and I sign the billing.
Thank you. And as far as training and review, did you review your Blue Cross Blue Shield contract regarding the billing of a rendering provider and Blue Cross Blue Shield's requirement for a rendering provider MPI?
We had actually made multiple phone calls to the different insurance agencies because I know there was a gray area, but all the insurance agencies were made aware that this is what we were doing.
And you have in writing permission from them or documentation from them related to their approval for that information?
We have nothing in writing. These are all verbal conversations.
Thank you. That is all the questions that I have.
Dr. Gill?
Dr. Gill, I have one final question.
Yes, please.
Dr. Zachariah, you were aware that Dr. Wiley was seeing RJ individually and his ex-wife, JW, individually and collectively. And the fiance, at least for two sessions, and one of our RJ's children individually. Is that correct?
I'm aware that she was seeing one, but I did not know their connection.
Well, you knew that she was providing at least individual therapy to all those individuals.
Yes. But I
did that
not
concern
know
you? Since that's quite a heavy load for any therapist, much less a psych assistant, to be taking on multiple members of a family. And it suggests that there may be some confusion as to the role of the therapist with each individual. And you know, according to the ethical principle, there has to be an informed consent that includes defining the role that the therapist has with each individual patient. And, of course, we don't have the documentation, but to your knowledge and recollection, were these roles clearly defined therapeutically?
First of all, I was not aware of all the family connections and the relations. Second of all,
well, they were billing for these sessions.
I'm not sure that I'm understanding your question.
Well, the billing has the patient's name on it.
How am I supposed to know the relationship through billing?
the bill has the patient's name on it, so that you would, even if the Dr. Wiley didn't tell you, if you're reviewing the billing, you would know the patients that she's seeing, because they're identified on the bill.
I think what Dr. Zachariah was trying to explain is that the patient's names may not be the same last names, and that just looking at a name doesn't necessarily evoke a connection that would make her go, wow, I better have a discussion with Dr. Wiley about this.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the board members? All right, hearing none, we are going to move into deliberations. This is a time for the board members to speak amongst themselves in regards to the issues of the case without any interruption from anyone else. I will start the deliberation since I'm the lead board member on this case. I do have concerns about the supervision that was provided by Dr. Zachariah to Dr. Wiley. It appears that the clients were not aware that Dr. Wiley was being supervised, and that potentially the right consent forms or information was not relayed. I also have concerns on the activities. I believe as a supervisor, you're responsible for the person you're supervising, and there were activities that appear to have occurred that were not appropriate, that was under Dr. Zachariah's purview as a supervisor. Do any of the other board members have comments?
This is Dr. Gill. I have concerns about the quality of the supervision. Documentation would certainly be a huge help in clarifying the role of the supervisor. I also have concerns about the informed consent issue and the fact that the roles of the of Dr. Wiley with each of the individual family members, from all that I can see, was not clarified at the beginning of treatment, which is what the ethical principles espouse. And I also have concerns with billing the NPI number under the name of Dr. Wiley, which it's not a billing code issue, but it's still a misrepresentation, in my opinion, and concerns that Dr. Wiley did wear a lab coat saying clinical psychologists would, at the very least, raise concerns about Dr. Wiley's awareness of what her true role would be in as a therapist to this family member, to this family.
All right, thank you. Dr. Davis-Wilson, any comments?
I echo those same concerns.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Dr. Davis-Wilson.
Oh, I apologize. I said I echo those same concerns.
Okay, thank you. I will make a motion. I feel that there is a possible violation of staff and the ethical code. I would make a motion that we move this case forward to the board under ARS 32-6116A, obtaining a fee or by fraud or misrepresentation regarding to the billing.
Ms. Shreve, if I may, this is Jean Galvin. I heard at least one committee member stress the importance of possible additional documentation that would aid the committee, primarily the supervision logs. Is that something that the committee would like to review prior to sending this to the full board? Would you like staff to issue a subpoena and then bring it back to the committee?
Board members, could you hear that? So a lot of what our concerns are the supervision that was provided, that, you know, whether it was or wasn't, the documentation of the of letting the clients know that the Dr. Wiley was being supervised. We don't have that information. What we have is, you know, comments from a complainant. We do have the opportunity to subpoena that information, and what we could do is request the board to subpoena that information. Request our staff to subpoena the information we had obtained that, and then we would review this case again with that documentation that would support whatever, you know, whatever the outcome is on that, on the documentation. Is that something that we want to, or we're interested in doing? I think it's a good idea. I would support that. I think it would either provide the exact information we're looking for, whether it's documented or not. Any thoughts from the board members?
Madam Chair, I would agree with that, and I was actually had Ms. Galvin not stepped in, I was going to offer that as a friendly amendment. I think a lot of the decisions, a lot of the concerns are related to supervision. I'm still obviously concerned about the billing as well as the lack of assuming supervisory responsibility. However, I think those are things that can carry over into, you know, our next discussion after we've had an adequate opportunity to review the supervision notes and documentation.
Mr. Dr. Gill, I would agree. I think it will give us more information to make a more informed decision regarding this case if we have access to that documentation. Right now, I have concerns about what I'm hearing thus far, aside from the documentation, but the documentation would really strengthen, I think, Dr. Zachariah's case on her behalf, or the lack of appropriate documentation would make an argument that certain laws or principles are violated. So it would give us a clearer picture of what's going on.
All right, thank you. So do we...
Yes, I would prefer a motion to table and a motion to direct staff to issue a subpoena and be very clear in what documentation you want to request of Vibrant.
Okay. So before I make a motion, can I just confirm, maybe from Dr. Gill or Dr. Davis-Wilson, what specific documentation we want to request them to provide? Any thoughts? I think we want, for example, I think we want the any documentation from Dr. Wiley's progress notes, whether she's dating and telling people she is under supervision. I think there needs whatever documentation Dr. Zachariah has regarding her supervisory capacity, whether it's her meeting notes with Dr. Wiley, documentation of hours, any documentation that shows the supervision that she provided and how that was provided. Am I missing anything, board members?
You're breaking up, so I'm not clear what you're asking.
I'm asking what documentation, I guess from you both of you or the clinicians, specifically we want to ask for. I think in regards
with respect to Dr. Zachariah, it would be her progress notes, which she indicated that she complete. She did document the progress notes during her time in supervision, and it would be helpful to get the supervision notes that Dr. Zachariah produced as part of her supervision of Dr. Wiley from the beginning until the last time that she wrote a progress note in 2019.
So any documentation relating to her supervision, and I guess any contracts related to her providing supervision or policies. Any other thoughts from the board members?
I believe there were some...
I would be in agreement with that.
There was some testimony that Dr. Wiley was instructed to inform the patients of her role as a supervisee, and that office staff was also informed to instruct patients that Dr. Wiley was under supervision. Perhaps there's a office internal memorandum or policy procedure outlining those requirements.
I would... request that we receive that too. And then Dr. Wiley would have in her progress notes with patients that she provided supposedly that informed consent, or she provided that information that she's being supervised.
And that may be part of the other case.
Might be, okay. All right, so I will make a motion that we table this case and that we subpoena the information that we've spoken about to help us provide a better understanding of the supervision that occurred by Dr. Zachariah. So that's my motion. Is there a second?
I second that.
All right. Dr. Gill, I think you just made it just before Dr. Davis-Wilson, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any comment? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. So this case would be tabled, and we will be subpoenaing the information. We'll move on to the next case, which is also Mike. I'm also the lead on. This is complaint 2036 regarding Dr. Marilyn Wiley, who is unlicensed currently. She currently has a application pending with the board. She previously applied for licensure with the board on two occasions, but did not pass the ECPP. From October 2017 to January 2020, Dr. Wiley worked as a psychologist associate for Vibrant Healthcare, located in Scottsdale. Dr. Wiley provided services to patients under the supervision of a licensed psychologist, Dr. Zachariah. Dr. Wiley provided counseling for JR from 2017 to 2019 and his fiance for two sessions in 2019 and also for JR's minor son. Dr. Zachariah's employment with Dr. Vibrant was terminated in September 2019. Approximately 3 months later, Dr. Wiley voluntarily resigned from Vibrant in January of 20. On January 27th, 2020, while Dr. Wiley's application was pending with the board, JR submitted one complaint against Dr. Wiley as well as other individuals that we mentioned prior. The focus of the complaint surrounded billing practices and Dr. Wiley's conduct. We also received information in February from RJ's fiance, which pretty much mimicked a lot of the concerns that JR presented. The complainant alleges that while in Dr. Wiley's care, Dr. Wiley inquired if JR was interested in meeting and dating a fellow counselor that she knew of. She provided Dr. Wiley a screenshot of a Facebook conversation with the counselor. JR declined the invitation and felt that it complicated the therapist relationship and caused JR to schedule fewer meetings. JR is concerned Dr. Wiley doesn't have an NPI number, that Dr. Wiley's and Dr. Zachariah's MPI numbers were listed on the billing. There's a lot of overlap between these two cases, so please forgive me, I'm going to repeat some of it. JR researched the MPI database and again realized that she was not listed as a clinical psychologist. JR also alleges that Dr. Wiley was in therapy regarding work health issues. Dr. Wiley also provided counseling to JR's ex-wife, that Dr. Wiley was good friends with the ex-wife. They were both in the sorority and also the same sorority as the fiancé. Dr. Wiley took the fiancé as a patient. There was two sessions. They allege that the information that was mentioned in the two sessions by the fiancé was then relayed by Dr. Wiley to the ex-wife, which caused issues. JR also alleges that Dr. Wiley posted confidential information on her Facebook account and discussed their situation on a podcast. The applicant responded in a timely manner. Dr. Wiley states she has an extensive history with JR. They first met in November 2017, when the ex-wife, whom JR was still married to at the time, brought JR to a life coaching session. As Dr. Wiley was the life coach, and JR started to see Dr. Wiley as a life coaching professional. After some time, I guess it was discussed that maybe JR should receive more therapy type of sessions. JR ended up seeing Dr. Wiley as a therapist when she joined Vibrant Psychology as a professional associate. Being part of Vibrant, Dr. Wiley was now did not have the ability to be a life coach during the hours that JR needed, so that's why he started seeing Dr. Wiley as a psychologist. Dr. Wiley states that she would need to consult with Dr. Zachariah to determine if it's possible for JR to see her, given that their life coach relationship. Dr. Zachariah and Dr. Wiley discussed ethical concerns of the multi-dual relationship at the time, but Dr. Wiley argued in favor of the multiple relationship based on JR's concerns of his of the issues that he was having. That Dr. Wiley states that JR signed paperwork at Vibrant indicating that he understood the ramifications of dual relationship, that JR also was informed because Dr. Wiley was employed as a psychologist associate and not licensed, and that the issue of billing would be billed under Dr. Zachariah. And that also is mentioned that Dr. Wiley, JR stated that Dr. Wiley informed information to, I guess that wasn't her response, that was something else. So that ends my response from regarding Dr. Wiley. JR, are you on the phone?
What?
RJ.
Yes, I am.
RJ, I keep getting that mixed up.
That's fine.
I do have some questions for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Again, these might be redundant, but were you aware that, because this is a different case, it's a different record, were you aware that Dr. Wiley was under...
Do you want to give him the opportunity to kind of make an opening statement or general comments?
I'm sorry. Thank you. Our attorney's keeping me straight here. JR, would you like to make any opening comments or statements to the board?
Yes. Thank you so much. I never seen Dr. Wiley as a life coach. In an email sent to me from Dr. Wiley in December of 2017, it was listed as Dr. Marilyn Wiley, clinical psychologist. I've never known her as a psychology associate. I've never known her under any supervision. Dr. Wiley has always branded herself as a clinical psychologist in multiple events outside of Vibrant Healthcare. And also there are social events, like there's an event out called Skeletal Talks, and there was all these other events that were out in public where it made available for Dr. Wiley to gain new clients. She's never said she's a psychological associate. I've never heard of that nor discussed that. Throughout our relationship, it's been one that had a lot of conflict, a lot of dual relationships and whatnot. But the thing is, in regards to, let me go back to the lab coat, Dr. Wiley has wore a lab coat along with wearing that lab coat and taking my vitals in a clinical session. She took my blood pressure and, you know, checked my temperature, which I felt was kind of really out of bounds because I've never known that in any session. And that kind of was a red flag in the reason why I brought that up. But the clinical psychologist tag is something that she's always had, and I've never known it to be anything else. And then what kind of alerted me to that is on March 1st, I reached out to Dr. Wiley by text, to her personal cell phone, because we have exchanged hundreds of text messages outside the session where I had a concern where I went ahead and there was a medication, for depression, and I tried to get off of it cold turkey. And, you know, she replied to me. I'm sorry, yes, ma'am?
RJ, just a reminder that we don't want to use any clinical diagnoses.
Oh, yes, ma'am. My apologies. So that I sought out advice from Dr. Wiley in regards to medication, and there was the only thing that was really provided to me was don't do that, or, you know, or wean off of it. And, you know, and that was March 1st of 2019. And to this very day, you know, I'm still on it. There was no go see your primary care physician or whatnot. You know, I know she can't prescribe medicine and treatment, but there was nothing that was, you know, really done to help. And I'm still on that medication to this very day. So it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things.
Okay, sir, you're breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit. So I don't, if you kind of just, if you can speak a little slower, that's better. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. My apologies. There was the issue with the medication to where it's kind of made me suspicious because there wasn't anything as an advice as in go see your primary care physician or, you know, what can we do, some strategy and tools that can be provided to you that could be of assistance. There wasn't anything. It was more of, oh, don't do that or wean off of it. But, you know, that pretty much was the nature of the care. It was more of talking to a friend who you were compensated for. And the last thing is in regards to the life coaching, again, I was not a life coaching patient because I'm not sure how many life coaches can accept insurance. I never went to Dr. Wiley to where my insurance carrier was not billed for sessions going to her. So I don't know where the life coaching part came about. Like I said, in 2017, I received emails from Dr. Wiley saying that she is a clinical psychologist and not anything else like that. And that's the reason why I've never even heard the name of her supervisor as well. And that's it.
All right. Thank you for those comments. I have a few questions for you. Just so I can confirm your statement that Dr. Wiley was not a life coach for you at any time?
No, was not.
Was she a life coach for your ex-spouse?
I'm really not sure. I know when I started seeing her in 2017, that's when we were going through a rough patch, before we were divorced. So I don't know at what capacity that the ex-wife was seeing Dr. Wiley, being the fact that they're in the same sorority, and didn't know if she was seeing her on the books or just as a friend. I'm not aware.
All right. Could you tell us when you then saw Dr. Wiley at Vibrant, what capacity, what role was she for you? You went clinical or for, what were your expectations of her? What was your understanding?
My understanding and, you know, the way that it was said by Vibrant that I was having a session with Dr. Marilyn Wiley, clinical psychologist, and that's who I thought I was seeing, and I thought I was going to receive support for issues that I had going on. You know, initially I saw her because it was a work. It's the work stress and work-life balance. That's what it initially was. And then it went into the to things with relationship and whatnot in 2017. And I think our last session was probably in the middle to late 2019, with the bulk of the sessions being in 2018.
All right. You mentioned that there was numerous text messages between you and Dr. Wiley. Were those all therapy related, or how would you describe the text messages?
I would say the majority of them were very personal. One of the text messages that stands out to me is when I was in for relationship issues with my ex-wife. One day I get a text message from Dr. Wiley, and it basically has a picture of my ex-wife, and I get HC, who's her ex-fiance now, and basically it says, have you seen him? And I'm like, have you seen your ex's Facebook? And I'm like, no, I don't follow her Facebook. It's just not good for me. And then she sends me the picture of my ex-wife and her new fiance, our new boyfriend fiance at the time. And then she clearly states in the text message, don't tell nobody you got this from me. And that was pretty much so. She loved to provide information in different text messages. Or she went to go visit my ex-wife, and then she sent me a text message back saying, don't worry about HC. He seems like a really good guy, and he really cares about your son. I think your son's in really good hands. And you know, issues like that. If I'm going through a lot of struggles, it's almost like she kept providing information, you know, to either pull information from you or to give you information that really didn't feel like it was of a helping capacity.
RJ,
you know, she was very
I'm trying to just keep it a little more focused. Could you explain the text message that in regards to when she sent regarding to possibly dating a counselor? Could you just describe what happened?
Sure. Yes, ma'am. It was interesting how it actually happened, because she made the mention of it. On Facebook, there was a Vibrant article, and I responded in support of Vibrant. It was early in my time at Vibrant, and so it seems that Angela Fish, the doctor that was offered, you know, that wanted to go out on a date, reached out to Dr. Wiley, and they had a series of messages, and the text message that really stood out is Dr. Wiley was saying, yes, don't worry, RJ is my brother, my fraternity brother. He's just a good friend. He's a great guy, you know, believes in God and this, that, and other. And let me see what's going on with his dating situation. And then once I figure that out, we'll swoop in for the kill. And I think that's the email, the text message screenshot that I sent to you, along with the Facebook conversation between Dr. Wiley and Dr. Fisher. About them basically trying to see if I would be up for going on a date. And even after that point when I didn't respond, she followed back up with me saying, brother, what are you thinking? Are you, and I said, no, you know what? I'll pass. That's right when I met JW. And I'm like, you know what? I like JW. I'm going to stick with her. And then pretty much she was like, you know, kind of acknowledged it right on. I'll let her down easy. With how that message ended.
Okay, and sir, just to confirm, you were a client of Dr. Wiley's when this occurred?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Those are the questions I have. Other board members, questions for RJ?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill. RJ, did you, during the session, did you access Facebook?
During the session?
Yes.
No. Actually, that would be the opposite. That would be Dr. Wiley. She had a pretty good history of pulling out her gold Samsung phone, and she would show me my ex-wife's Facebook since I'm blocked from it. She would show me a number of things on her cell phone in session and always tag it with, don't tell them you got this for me, you didn't see this for me. But yeah, she would show me her phone with Facebook or text messages and whatnot while in session. I didn't access it while I was in session.
Okay. And you had reported that after she had possibly recommended this other counselor as a possible person to date for you, that after that it affected the therapy and you saw her for fewer sessions.
Yes, sir, that's correct. I know it's not a good way to say it, but it was just weird. I didn't feel right about it. I even felt weirdly out of place by telling her no. You know, I just felt like that it just was not a good thing. And so I did pass on the offer of that relationship.
And did you and your fiance see Dr. Wiley together?
No, sir.
Oh, so there was no couples therapy between, and with you and your ex-wife, did you see Dr. Wiley as a couple?
Initially, it was just me, And then the first session as a couple, she brought me, I think it was actually a session for the now ex-wife, where she brought me into the session, and the session was to, I guess, ease me into a conversation where the ex-wife explained her infidelity during a session. And then I think after that, I pretty much stormed out, and that was it for a couple of sessions.
Just to confirm, I'm sorry, let me jump in, Dr. Gill. Was that your ex-wife's session that you joined, or was it your session that your ex-wife or your current wife at the time joined?
No, it was the session with the ex. It was the ex-wife's session. I actually was invited to it, and that's when they had the conversation. That was with TDJ.
Okay,
who was the ex?
Okay, so you weren't the client. The ex-wife was the client. You joined the session, and then I'm just confirming. Then further down, time went by, and then you became a client separately. Is that correct?
No, I was a client. I was a client before that.
Okay.
I was a client first, right, and then she saw, I guess in an official whatever capacity, she saw TDJ, and then while we were still married, she saw both of us, and then, then she saw our son, and then from that point, she continued seeing me from 2017 to 2019.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Dr.
Madam Chair, I do apologize for you. Hello?
Yes?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill.
Madam Chair, I do apologize for the interruption to the board, to everyone who is on this call. I just wanted to let you all know that I am on this call as well. Unfortunately, I got on the call late. This is Dr. Tadisa Dennis-Jackson. This is the ex-wife of RJ. So I would like an opportunity to weigh in if that is a possibility. Thank you.
Thank you. So go ahead, Dr. Gill.
Well, I wanted to ask RJ, were you aware that your fiance had two sessions with Dr. Wiley?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when was your last session with Dr. Wiley? Do you know the date?
No, it was 2019. There was no 2020 sessions. But it was probably
you don't know exactly
maybe.
When.
I can look it up through my billing, but I don't know.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I wonder if it was at a time when Dr. Wiley was reportedly being supervised, or whether it was after supervision ended.
And I can go through my records and find out.
And as far as we know, the ending was in September of 2019. And Dr. Zakaria reported that that supervision wasn't terminated formally. But at that point in time, my question would be whether Dr. Wiley was receiving supervision from somebody else if, in fact, she was still treating you. So the date matters.
Yes,
that's all I have to say.
All right. Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you have any questions?
I do not.
All right. I do have one follow-up question. In the information you provided, you mentioned that in the session you had with Dr. Wiley that she mentioned information that your ex-spouse had provided to her in a session. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, the ex-spouse provided what information? Can you repeat that, please?
No, so in the information you provided, I believe you stated that Dr. Wiley told you confidential information that should have been confidential that your ex-wife provided to her in a session.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you describe what kind of information that was without...
I'm concerned that could lead to a further disclosure.
All right, then we'll just disregard the question. All right, is there any other questions for JR? All right, for RJ. JW, you're on the line. You're the fiance. Did you have any comments you'd like to make?
Yes, actually. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I saw Dr. Wiley for two sessions in July of 2019, and I did record part of my second session because I want to reflect on it later. She did tell me some personal things about my fiance, RJ, that he did have anger issues and personal arguments with his ex-wife, TDJ, how he ran upstairs to get the gun to threaten TDJ multiple times, and also how he attempted to turn the gun on himself. His youngest son, DJ, stopped him. So there was information that should have remained private in my session. And then basically, near the end of 2019, I did my billing like HSA, and I found out that Dr. Wiley did not bill my insurance company. So I called United Healthcare to follow up, and they did not have a charge on file reflecting my two visits back in July. They looked her up, and they wasn't able to find her. I gave the MPI number and a tax ID number that was on my billing statement, and it was also Zacharias Soretti's, not Dr. Wiley's. They also checked the AV Board of Psychology to look her name up, and she wasn't there. So that's when I discovered that she wasn't licensed. And on March 30th of 2020, I did receive an email from United Healthcare Fraud Investigation regarding Dr. Wiley, and they were currently in settlement with Vibrant Healthcare for services outside of scope and license.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you, just to confirm, you had mentioned that in your session that you had with Dr. Wiley that the information that you provided her you felt had been then relayed outside of that confidential relationship. Could you explain that?
Yes. So also in my session, I told Dr. Wiley about my experience with my sorority of Sigma Gamma Rho that Dr. Wiley is a part of, and so is the ex-wife of RJ, TDJ. And I also expressed about being hazed in 2008. So basically there was just a chain reaction of bad events. I received basically a text in 2019 asking, Dr. Wiley asking me if we had got married in Amsterdam because RJ's ex-wife, TDJ, wanted to know. So at that moment, I felt that red flags came up. I felt like my privacy was breached at that point and that she was telling information to RJ's ex-wife, TDJ. TDJ also sent an email in November 2019 to my fiance, RJ, stating that I was being watched and researched. I also received threats on my vehicle where we had to file a police report because they stated that we know where you live.
All right, thank you. Other board members, do you have questions for JW?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Gill.
Dr. Gill.
JW, during your two sessions, did Dr. Wiley tell you that she was a psychological assistant or associate under the supervision of Dr. Zachariah?
No, she told me she was a psychologist.
She said she was a psychologist?
A clinical psychologist.
Clinical, so she used those terms?
Yes, and also she had a placard on her desk that had, like, her name and clinical psychologist. And she also wore a lab coat as well that stated that.
You saw the lab coat, and are you sure that on the lab coat it stated clinical psychologist?
Yes.
And that was in July of 2019. And that was for both sessions?
For both sessions, yes.
Okay, and what was the reason for your therapy visit with her?
I went to therapy because basically I was coming back from Sacramento and I was having some
relationship adjustment issues with RJ. So I was talking to her in trust about my relationship with RJ.
Was there any discussion with you about keeping things private or confidential?
Yes, she did say that things were going to be kept private. It's between me and her, that it won't go outside this room, and that was basically it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gill. Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you have any questions?
I do not.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, JW, for being here today and participating. We're now going to move to Dr. Wiley. Dr. Wiley, are you on the phone? Dr. Wiley?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, Dr. Wiley.
All right. Dr. Wiley, thank you for joining us today. And if you could just introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Dr. Marilyn Wiley.
Great, thank you. Do you have a statement that you'd like to make, and then the board members will have questions?
Yes. First, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would like to start by saying I take full responsibility for all of my actions and mistakes, the first being taking a photo in a white coat that said clinical psychologist, which Dr. Z is not the one that told me that it was inappropriate. It was before her, and I actually called the board. And it was due to a conversation that me and some of my cohorts had about whether it was okay to say clinical psychologist without saying licensed clinical psychologist. So I take full responsibility for that and for posting it in my haste after defending my dissertation. Next, I would like to say that those photos were in my home office, and never have I represented myself in any job facility as a licensed clinical psychologist, nor have I brandished that I was a clinical psychologist. And at Vibrant Healthcare, I was hired as a psychology associate under the direct supervision of Dr. Z. And it is upfront stated, when people call to make an appointment with Dr. Z, it is also relayed to them that she was not taking patients at that time, but her psychology associate was. That was under her direct supervision. And I did tell people when they came in that I was under supervision of Dr. Z. And like I said, my job was under direct supervision, and I was marketed as such. And in my role at Vibrant Healthcare, I was not responsible for billing insurance, as that was the role of my direct supervisor. And with the electronic system that we used, I could only go so far. And then from that point, you needed an MPI number to actually do the super bill and send that bill to the insurance company. Second, I take full responsibility for my decision to enter into a dual relationship, which is allowable under certain circumstances, with the complainant, knowing the situation and knowing that he was my life coaching client at the time. There is a bit of untruth that was told to the board. I did know him prior, and he did come to my life coaching in Chandler, and his wife was coming to me first. She is the one that introduced us, and she brought him along to one of the sessions to get an unbiased opinion from me at my life coaching practice. How he became a patient at Vibrant Healthcare is I took a job at Vibrant Healthcare, and during that time, he was having a very, very time with his divorce. He was not in the best condition, and I did speak with Dr. Z, whether she remembers or not, about bringing him over as a patient in the dual conflict. And her question to me is that I know the difference between being a psychologist and life coaching. And I said, yes, I do. But under the circumstances, I advocated for it because he was in such a bad position, and I didn't feel like it was necessary or the right moral thing to do to leave him hanging and by himself in the situation that he was going through. So she agreed, and she also asked if there were other life coaching patients that I had or life coaching clients that I had that I could bring over, since the company was a new business and just starting
to be up and running, she asked if there was others that would also like to come over and use their insurance, and I said no. Okay. So, like I said, although I would not call this a mistake for helping him or getting involved in the multiple relationship, even though it was morally, it was professionally wrong, I feel like it was morally right by not allowing him to suffer alone, and he had no one at the time. However, I will say that it is an unfortunate decision that has cost me and caused me to rethink personal and professional boundaries. But knowing that the complainant is here today to complain lets me know that all of my efforts were not in vain. The sad thing is I didn't know these people, yet I chose to genuinely help them by sacrificing and muddying the waters by taking on a multiple relationship to help the complainant through one of the toughest times of his life. But what is even more sad is that they really didn't know me either, and the personal and career-related sacrifices I made for both, never with the intent to harm, defraud, mislead, and certainly not to maliciously hurt. Yet, I choose to forgive them all without grudge and hope they find the help and satisfaction they are looking for. But because of the threats, lies, misguided direction, betrayal, disrespect, and defamation of my character by people I've stuck my neck out for, it leaves me with a bittersweet feeling and a second guess about this career path as a whole. But because of my God-given strength and talent and the strength and knowledge I've gained through this experience, I know in due time this too shall pass. And if you have any questions, I will be more than happy to answer.
Thank you, Dr. Wiley. I will start the question since I'm the lead board member on this case. Could you please explain, I think exactly you had mentioned in your comments that you, just so I understand, that you told the clients that you were being supervised. You're not a psychologist, but you were working on your license per se, and that you were under supervision. Is that correct?
Yes, and they knew that I was studying for my ECCC as well, both.
All right, and when did those conversations occur?
With JW?
Well, with RJ or JW or any of your clients, at what point, when were they notified of that information?
RJ knew prior to becoming a patient at Vibrant Healthcare. All my other patients, when they came in to sit down and talk, and I introduce myself and tell them who I am and what I do, I would explain that I'm under supervision under Dr. Zakaria, verbally.
And was that discussion placed in the progress notes documenting that they were informed of this?
No, it wasn't. In the beginning, when I put together my packet for my sessions, I included a form in there where the patient would have to sign off on that sheet saying that they understood that I was being supervised. But when I showed it to Dr. Zakaria, she said it wasn't needed as long as I told them verbally. But did I record it in my notes? No, I didn't.
And was Dr. Zakaria your supervisor for the whole time you were there?
She was my supervisor up until September of 2019.
And then were you seeing patients from September to, I believe you left in January?
I was seeing patients, but under life coaching. Well, it wasn't patients, it was clients under life coaching. Because Dr. Zakaria left abruptly, and none of my patients that I had when she was there was informed, notified, or had the opportunity to be referred to someone else, the CEO allowed me to have them come in without a charge and have a conversation with them to see if they wanted to be referred out or if they could, or if they wanted to continue to come there to see me as a life coach. So we gave them an option, but I didn't just not see them. I didn't charge, but I did explain to them that there was a situation as far as being billed in insurance.
And that your role would then change from a counselor to a life coach?
Yes, that's what I was instructed to do, because at that particular moment or time, there was no supervisor or anything, and there were still people scheduled for appointments.
How many of those individuals to see you after that, from September, that you were seen already? I mean, roughly.
I really couldn't tell you. I don't have access to any of those records or anything, but soon as she left, the front office started making phone calls to explain that we were no longer accepting insurance. And from that point forward, a lot of people start canceling or going somewhere else. So I'm really not aware, but it was very minimal people.
Minimal being 10, 20, minimal being 3, 4?
I mean, maybe I would say around 20. The number 27 sticks in my head for some reason during that time, but no more than 30, I know.
So they were coming in for life coaching and then were required to pay cash. Is that correct?
Yes, if they chose to do so.
All right. And did you maintain progress notes on them as they visited?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Could you please explain the situation in regards sending a text message to RJ regarding a potential person to date?
Yes. First, I want to clarify that RJ did not make a comment on one of my Vibrant Healthcare posts. He made a comment on my personal post on Facebook. As a life coach to him, and him being a life coaching client, he was on my Facebook page. My life coaching, they have full access to me. They have my personal number. They have my social media. They have access to everything. So the post that he responded to and she saw was on my personal Facebook page. And like I said, moving him from life coaching over to psychology, it was already a difficult boundary to establish, because we had already had a personal life coaching relationship prior to that. So when he was going through his divorce, he was very low, felt like he had nothing to live for. So at that time, when she sent that, I was like, oh, well, it wouldn't hurt for me to at least show him that somebody is interested and that his life wasn't over. It wasn't a malicious attempt. Should I have done it? No, I shouldn't have. But it wasn't to maliciously hurt him or to make him feel like he should be afraid of me and shouldn't come back to see me. It was to show him, okay, see, I told you there is someone else out there for you. You don't have to go that route and feel like you have nothing to live for when there are other people that's out there that's interested. So that was what that was about.
Dr. Wiley, do you, your patients, do they have access to your personal social media? Like if they friended you or they wanted to be on your, I'm not good at social media, Facebook's the only way, because my mind, do they have access to that?
No, only the ones that were life coaching, such as RJ and JW wasn't life coaching, but we were associates before she came to see me at Vibrant, and they sought me out.
And with your patients, do you connect with them on their personal social media?
No.
All right.
Just as if in this situation, yes.
Okay. You met with the fiance JW twice.
Mm-hmm.
You stated that you discussed conflict of interest in the potential in the meeting with her. Could you?
I'm sorry, you went out.
Okay. When you met with the JW in the first session, I believe you stated in your paperwork that you discussed conflict of interest. Was there a discussion about conflict of interest in that meeting?
Yes, And she told me that she had been searching for, I told her that it would be a conflict of interest, and she said that she had been looking for another African-American therapist in the area but could not find one, but she needed someone to talk to. RJ had prior asked me if I could see her at Vibrant, and I told him no. But she came anyway.
And you... And was
when she came...
Go ahead.
When she came, I told her that I can have a conversation with her, friend to friend, sorrow to sorrow, but I can't see her as a patient because of the conflict of interest. And what she shared with me is not what she, well, some of it, she only recorded, unbeknownst to me, the second session, not the first session. And in the second session, what she recorded was not a therapeutic conversation. That was a conversation between the two of us, and the stuff that she's saying I told her was stuff that she had already known and was discussed in the very first session. So when she was asking for clarification in her comments or in her recording, that all I was saying was, uh-huh. So for her to say that I told her all this stuff, which when he sent her to me to talk to me, he had already said she knew everything that has happened in his prior marriage, and they have no secrets, and that he had told her every single thing. So it was nothing really left for me to tell her.
All right. Did you meet with her at Vibrant?
Yes, she came to Vibrant twice.
Did she sign the informed consent forms?
Yes, she came in, and just like any other patient, if you have an appointment, you have to fill out the paperwork before you're sent to the back. When we came out of our session, I told them not to bill her because I couldn't see her. It was a conflict not to bill her insurance because I couldn't see her as a patient.
And then you had another meeting with her, that's correct?
Yes, and when she came that time, she said that he was not aware that she came and that a situation had happened between the two of them, and she needed someone to talk to, and she was afraid to go home because he may be there.
Okay, and did you complete progress notes with regards to these meetings?
I'm not sure. I think I put something in because we have to, in order for it to clear off of our electronic system, it has to, once they come in and check in the front, it creates a automatic bill. And so in order for that to go away or for you to get it off the system, you have to enter a note or you have to enter something. I did not enter the information that she told me in regard to the situation that was happening between her and RJ. As I stated to her, I would not share that.
All right. And you drafted a, I'm trying to find it, I believe it was an email that was sent with some concerns about the supervision you were receiving?
Yes, that's correct.
One moment. All right, so in regards to that draft letter that outlined several concerns, could you explain in it, it mentions a psychology associate that was not receiving what they felt was the right supervision. Who is that psychology associate?
That would be myself.
Okay, and there's some concerning about billing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that?
Is it my complaint to the board? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, it was a complaint. I believe it was a email. I'm trying to find it here. I have it in my...
And for reference, it's page 380 of the file.
Thank you. So 380.
Okay.
And I believe it's an email to an individual. Okay, that's not. Oh, my file doesn't go up that high. Oh, wait, I might be in the wrong. Is it in the supplement?
Okay. Okay, my 380 is part of the... hold on one second.
So basically it was a letter, a draft letter, I believe. Oh, here it is.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So this was just a draft. It's not signed, I don't recall, but it was a draft you gave to your employer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And there's no date on that. When was this draft written?
I would have to go back and look, but it had to be, it was prior to Dr. Zakaria leaving the company.
Okay, and is there a reason why you didn't submit this letter or submit your concerns to the board?
Yes, because there was a legal battle that was going on at Vibrant Healthcare, and I was asked not to reach out and contact Dr. Zakaria or have any contact with her. And I felt that before I filed a formal complaint on her, that her and I should discuss it or talk about it. And that never occurred. And my CEO and myself had several conversations as to the situation that was going on at Vibrant and whether it was a good idea for me to make a board complaint under the circumstances, thinking that there may be some backlash or that she would come for me like she did for the company, knowing that I was getting ready to sit for licensure.
All right. Thank you. I don't have any further questions. Other board members, do you have questions?
This is Dr. Gill. Dr. Mm-hmm. Wiley,
yes.
It sounds what Dr. Zakaria had reported is that you did not respond to her phone calls for a final session. It mm-hmm. sounds like you followed the advice of the CEO of Vibrant not to contact her. And it strikes me as a conflict of interests here, interests in that on the one hand, it's advised to have some kind of wrap-up session with the supervisor for clinical reasons, and yet for business reasons, you were advised not to contact her. And so I would think that, did you document that, or did you document your reasons perhaps for not responding to Dr. Zakaria's phone calls?
Did I in the question
document that?
I submitted to the board when I was asked why did I not submit my complaint to the board. I was asked why didn't I, and in there I did explain that I was asked not to contact her or receive any contact from her.
Okay. Well, you can understand the problems inherent from a clinical perspective and not terminating that supervisory relationship. You can understand that, right?
Yes, I can understand that.
You want to tie up loose ends. You want to receive some guidance as to how to proceed. From a clinical perspective, you're facing the prospect of possibly continuing to see people, perhaps as a life coach and not as a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't get any help or consultation from anybody else when you proceeded to move on as a life coach for Vibrant. Is that correct?
No, I didn't.
And
I was following the instruction of my CEO. And from that point forward, when I no longer had any steady flow of patients and the terms of my contract with them changed, then I just left the company altogether.
And why did you leave the company?
I left the company because I didn't have a supervisor and because I was asked to ask patients, which I refused to do, to come back to see me as a life coach that were once seeing me with insurance and were seeing me for free, and then for me to go down and to life coaching from being their psychology associate and then asking them to pay cash for life coaching when they were free for insurance, I didn't feel like that was okay or the right thing to do.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yes. And so when it became a problem that I was not marketing myself or getting clients in as life coaching, and it was constantly being thrown in my face that psychology was no longer, or we didn't get a new supervisor in place, it's like, why am I here?
Yes. And you explained to the people that you were continuing to see as a life coach after your role as a psychological assistant was completed. Mm-hmm. You did mm-hmm. explain to them the nature of the different role that you were playing with them as a life coach moving forward.
Yes, and I gave them the option to...
Did you document that?
Did I document it?
Yes.
No, I didn't, because many of them didn't. It was only a handful, and many of them didn't come back. And from that point forward,
the ones that did come back?
A lot of the patients that were seeing me under psychology associate, before they came into their next appointment, the front desk person reached out to them to ask them their preference and what they wanted to do. And some of them that I felt I needed to see that were suicidal, I told them regardless of whether they can pay or not, that I still needed to see those patients. I still needed them to come in so I could be the one to talk to them and explain what's happening and what's going on and give them the option if they wanted to do life coaching. But
if they were suicidal, wouldn't you consider referring them out?
I did.
You did that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that the documentation regarding your treatment is under the control of Vibrance and that we don't have access to it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Well, my records were subpoenaed, but I don't think it was for my specific patient load. I think it was just for RJ and JW.
Right. One of the concerns I have here is that when you were seeing JR, you also saw the fiance, the ex-wife, and the son. You were seeing them all on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me that that is a heavy load for any therapist.
It is.
And when you would do that, it would seem to me, my understanding of the ethical code, that you would spell out your role with each of them, and that so that they're clear as to what the boundaries are and what your role as a therapist is with each of them, and to address issues of confidentiality with them. And I wonder if you did all of those things, because it does appear, or at least it's suggested here, that there's some confusion in the treatment that was provided and what the roles that some of these family members played in your treatment.
And I agree with that, and I did that. As I mentioned, muddying the waters occurred when I brought the family over from life coaching to psychology associate.
Yes, okay.
And it's very difficult to go from life coaching where you have no set boundaries and then bring them over to psychology where there are boundaries.
which is the reason.
Did you consider closing your personal Facebook to JR at the time that you made that transition?
No, I didn't. I didn't even think about it.
Okay. I'm not an expert on Facebook, but I would imagine you can close off a defriend a friend, I guess you might say.
Absolutely.
And it seems here that that would have been advised, but you didn't do that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I can understand that your treatment of JR when it switched, that he was presenting with certain clinical issues and that you didn't want to abandon him. And even though it was a hint of a multiple relationship, that you felt that it was best, given your connection with him, to stay with him. What I'm less under, I have less of an understanding of why you would treat a former sorority sister. That I don't understand.
Meaning JW?
Well, I believe it's the ex-wife was your sorority sister.
Oh, okay. That was under life coaching to start with. And so when both of them were seeing me under life coaching, at first there was not even a charge. There was just conversation to try to help them get through situations that was going on.
There may have been no charge, but that doesn't mean you're not providing some form of psychotherapy.
Under life coaching?
Well, I would call it no. Okay. I would call it psychotherapy. Because there is no charge doesn't mean that you're not providing psychotherapy in and of itself.
I was referencing life coaching, not psychotherapy.
Okay. Did you see the ex-wife, who is your sorority sister, for psychotherapy?
Yes, I did.
And I guess my point is that she was a former sorority sister. Wouldn't that be cause for you to refer her out?
Even though they came over, he was under her insurance, they came over together. I see your point.
Okay, well, you had seen our Jake for quite a while on an individual basis. So.
I actually saw him more than her.
Right. Did you see them together?
Not at Vibrant, no.
Okay. So we'll assume that was not psychotherapy, that was life coaching, and you saw them as a couple at under yes. that auspices. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, and I guess my final question is, with your sessions with the fiancé, you called that something less than psychotherapy, in my understanding. Did you share information in your conversation with fiancé to a third party?
Absolutely not.
You did not?
Did not.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gill. Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Wiley, I am trying to wrap my brain around the time frame. Can you give us an idea of when you started to see RJ for life coaching?
November 2017.
And when did you stop life coaching and move to psychotherapy?
I still life coach, but with him, his first appointment at Vibrant was December 12th, 2017.
Thank you.
Can I just jump in? Did you say you life coached in November 2017 and then he became a patient in December 2017? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to confirm that's what I heard. All right. Thank you.
So that answers my questions in follow-up were related to the dates in which the text message picture of the boyfriend was sent to RJ, the comment that the affirmation that RJ did upgrade, and the derogatory comments towards the picture that was done. Irrelevant because it looks like the date isn't on here. You're saying that that was done when he was a life coach patient. So would it be safe to assume that that was done in November of 2017?
When Dr. Z left in 2019, anything thereafter for me was life coaching. When that message went out with RJ, if I'm not mistaken, the one that you're referencing, that was at the beginning of 2019. Is there a page number that I could reference?
I'm not sure which documents you have. It's probably going to differ from mine, I would imagine. I don't know if board staff can assist with that.
So, Dr. Davis-Wilson, are you asking or confirming that when the text message regarding the person that JR could date, was that during the time when he was a patient?
No, I'm referring to the text message to RJ from Dr. Wiley with a picture of RJ's ex-wife and new boyfriend.
What page are you on?
Didn't get this from me. Let me switch it over. Hold on 1 second.
That when all of that happened, he was at Vibrant Art.
I'm sorry, Dr. Wiley, you're breaking up. If you could just say that again a little slower.
Yes, I said that was during the time that he was a patient at Vibrant.
Okay, so it was during time when he was a patient. All right, thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that answers my question. And as far as the dating proposals through Facebook, what time frame did that occur in? Because you also stated that occurred while he was a life coach patient.
Oh no, that was in March of that same year. I hope we're referencing the same thing.
Yep, probably. Okay. As far as supervision goes, what was your understanding of what supervision was going to look like with your employment with Vibrant?
That I would have a face-to-face at least 2 hours for every 40 hours a week worked.
And how often did that happen?
I would say, oh, wow, maybe a handful of times. Maybe.
And what would you say?
Three or four at the most.
And that was between the periods of 2017 and 2019, correct?
That's correct.
And what would you say that your role as a supervisee is to ensure that you are not, that you're being adequately supervised and ensure that you are not potentially practicing without a license?
I would mention it to my CEO who was at the facility at all times. And if I had a question or issue or a problem to come up that I really needed help with, I would reach out to Dr. Z via phone myself. But other than me complaining or other than me reaching out when I feel like I needed the help, I was just doing my job.
Okay. Those are the only questions that I have.
All right. Any further questions for the doctor? All right. Hearing none, we will now move into deliberations. This is a time where the board members speak amongst themselves without any interruption.
Madam Chair.
To discuss the case. Yes.
I believe we had another, and I don't know, just for point of reference, but I believe we had another request to speak.
Yes, they're not a complainant. They're not part of the case. I'll let our attorney address that.
It would be within the discretion of the chair if committee members have questions of that individual, the chair would entertain them.
Committee members, do you have any questions or I guess there any would like to speak to as and correct me as JR's ex-wife, correct? That's who?
That's correct. This is Dr. Tadithia Dennis Jackson. That's correct.
All right. Board members?
Madam Chair, I don't have any questions. I just wanted to make sure that we addressed it.
Thank you. Dr. Gill?
Madam Chair, I guess I'm talking to the ex-wife now.
She's on the line. I guess we have the prerogative to speak to her if we'd like to. You would?
How long was she receiving life coaching from Dr. Wiley?
Okay. To the ex-wife, what are your initials? I don't have your initials down. Just initials, please.
EDJ.
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 Okay. If you could answer Dr. Gill's question, please.
Sure. I was actually seeing Dr. Wiley first. So I was seeing her in the fall of 2017. Then I brought my ex-husband over to see her in November. And then we switched over to see her in December of 2017. As we were seeing life coaching. Over. We both knew that we were seeing life coaching. I'm sorry?
You switched over from life coaching to psychological counseling?
That's correct.
And how is it explained to you, that switchover, in which now you are in psychotherapy with someone versus there being previously being your life coach? How is that explained to you?
As a life coach patient, we were treated as it was more of a, not necessarily a social environment, but just an understanding and conversations that were happening regarding our marriage. And like I said, I started seeing her before that point myself. Yes. And it was the same type of situation. When it switched over, it was because there was more in-depth assistance needed. And so that was explained to us. We both knew that she was moving over to Vibrant. We also both knew that she was going in working towards her examination and that she was working under a doctor who was there. So that information was shared with us when we switched over to psychotherapy.
So you feel that your role as a patient in this psychological counseling was made clear to you?
That's correct. I do, without a doubt.
Did you spend, because she is a friend of yours also, did you spend any social time with her during the time that you were seeing her for counseling?
No, when I was seeing her for counseling, it was really for counseling. I needed the help and the assistance all the time that I have seen her, whether it was during my marriage, my divorce, and with the new relationship that I just ended in January. It was for counseling purposes when I saw her at our sessions. Now, outside of that, that was our own personal time. But during
you were
sessions,
not Facebooking with her or texting her about personal issues?
No, we were talking
the issues that were targeted during your counseling.
If I had a concern, if there was something going on in my existence at the time that had to do with the counseling session, then I would contact her. But that was for our sessions. That was also discussed and talked about in our session.
Okay, and when was the last time you saw her?
As a patient?
Counseling.
I believe in November of 2019 was the last time that I've had an appointment with her.
Were you aware that she was a psychological assistant under the supervision of a licensed psychologist?
Yes, that was told to us when we switched over from life coaching to go, and she was moving into Vibrant. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And and were you informed in September of 2019 that there was a switchover between, I guess, psychological counseling and life coaching?
When we switched over, we knew that. Yeah, we knew that we were life coaching. That's when we were brought in. Yeah, I knew the change when the change happened.
So you knew that. You were informed that she could no longer act as a counselor, as a psychological assistant to you, because her supervisor was no longer present for her. So
correct.
That was,
and that's when also
regarding that.
Yeah, and that's when I was also told about the billing as well. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any further questions? All right. Thank you for participating. We appreciate that. We'll now move into deliberations. This is a time for the board to talk amongst ourselves regarding the facts of the case. I am the lead in this case, so I will start. I do have some concerns in regarding the doctors engaging in activities that do not fall within professional standards of a psychologist. I don't feel that there was adequate records that were kept to document that she was acting as a as an associate, that she was under supervision of Dr. Zacharias. I have concerns about multiple relationships. And I wasn't sure, and maybe Dr. Gill or Dr. Davis-Wilson can mention this, on informed consent. Is there a requirement to have them sign something saying that there is a, you know, the person's being supervised? We had asked about any documentation in the progress notes, and there did not seem to be any. It all appeared to be somewhat verbal, but should there have been something written in informed consent? Those are my thoughts. Any comments from my board members?
Madam Chair, I don't think there's an absolute requirement that it be documented. It's just a good practice that you document. There's a rule in psychotherapy and in insurance circles that if it's not written down, it didn't happen. And in a case like this, it really protects Dr. Wiley, you know, from any misunderstandings if it's documented in writing. Oftentimes there's a proof sheet in which you might check a box or sign underneath a statement regarding general informed consent that the patient is consenting to treatment. So just in response to your question, I also have concerns about, you know, the role confusion on the part of Dr. Wiley in terms of her conduct as a therapist with these multiple family members. The enormity of the issues here would get the best of any good licensed psychologist. And I don't get the sense that this was properly handled, or that the roles were defined for each of these individuals that she treated. I have concerns about, you know, what happened between the time of being a life coach and being the time as a licensed psychologist. Boy, that's a tricky, slippery slope, it seems to me. My understanding of life coaching is it's not at the same level as psychological counseling is. And you really have to assume a different role with them, and that has to be fully spelled out. The ethical code is clear that the informed consent includes, when treating family and family members, that your role be declared with them, and they have an understanding of what form of treatment you're providing, you know, be to be treating a patient, a fiance, an ex-wife, and a child all at the same time is, to me, a monumental task. And at the very least, that has to be fully and completely spelled out. It's my understanding that we don't have access to the documentation for the same reason that we didn't have it for Dr. Zakaria. Is that correct?
Well, we have records for, I believe it's for RJ.
For RJ and JW.
For JW.
Okay, so we have some records there. Yeah,
we do have
okay.
records.
Okay, thank you.
I would like
thank you,
to
Madam
make,
Chair.
I think that there's also needs to be a conversation, and I think I need some legal advice on kind of framing this. Is Dr. Wiley is not currently licensed by us because she is not... received her license, and so I think I'd like to ask that we go into executive session, make a motion that we go into executive session to receive legal advice on the legal aspects of that. Is there anyone that would like to second that motion?
I'll second that.
I second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
One moment, please.
So Dr. Davis Wilson and Dr. Gill, you would call in on the number that was provided to you for executive session. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then all other parties can remain on the line, and we'll step in the other room, and I will call them.
Okay, so Jennifer, then you know. Okay, so I guess we're going to change it up a little bit. Everyone else can stand.